Welcome. Thanks for coming to our home church video series. I'm glad that you've chosen to join me this morning, and we're just excited to have you here. You know, that was a great video we just watched. A woman who, through her extravagant gift, turned a dinner party upside down. Mary here was doing exactly that. She was worshiping Jesus in an upside-down way, a way that was just countercultural to the way they had always done it before. And so this morning we're going to talk about how to worship God and maybe ways that we can change the way we worship in this time that we're in right now. You know, this particular story has a backstory to it that is really important to know, and that is that just prior to this, Mary and Martha and Lazarus, and you've heard those names before because they're of Lazarus who was raised from the dead fame. Mary and Martha were indebted to Jesus. They had been in grief because their brother had died, and then he turned their grief into joy when he raised Jesus from the dead. And so we also know that Lazarus was indebted to Jesus because he was dead and now he's alive. And so these three people, all of the town of Bethany, are wanting to give a thank you to Jesus. And we also know there's another person involved here, because in the book of Matthew and the book of Mark, we find that there's a man by the name of Simon the leper. Evidently, Simon was a leper and Jesus had healed his leprosy. And so Simon is involved in this as well. And so we see that Martha is serving, typical Martha. She is serving and cooking. She's the chef of this occasion. Simon has provided the home where they can have this particular this party. I would assume that Lazarus was the one who was footing the bill. And Mary, she is getting ready to worship Jesus. So before we go any farther, let's read this story, and then we're going to talk about some of the implications of it. So it says in John, the 12th chapter, 6 days before the Passover celebration began, Jesus arrived in Bethany, the home of Lazarus, the man he had raised from the dead. A dinner was prepared in Jesus' honor, and Martha served. Lazarus was among those who ate with him. And then Mary took a 12-ounce jar of expensive perfume made with the essence of nard, and she anointed Jesus' feet with it, wiping his feet with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance. But Judas Iscariot, the disciple who would soon betray him, said, "That perfume was worth a year's wages. It should have been sold and the money given to the poor." Not that he cared for the poor, for he was a thief, and since he was in charge of the disciples' money, he often stole some for himself. Jesus replied, "Leave her alone. She did this in preparation for my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me." See, this story is really about cultural barriers and the things that had to be broken in order to worship Jesus. For Mary, she had to be willing to go against several cultural barriers, one of which happened to be the fact that dinner parties in this time and era were for men. The men reclined at the table. It was the women who served and cooked the meal and took care of their needs. And then when they were done, then the women would come and eat. And so when Mary entered into this room, it was the men who were at the table. Now, the women had been invited because Jesus wanted them there, and it was their dinner party, so they were a part of this whole party of this day. And then we see Mary do something else, and that was she let her hair down. Well, letting your hair down in this particular culture in mixed company was a sign of indecency. It was giving mixed messages to men at that point. And beyond that, the idea that she would use her hair, which was her glory, to be placed upon his feet, which is the worst part of the body in that culture, and actually in our culture too, when she put her feet and her face on her hair, it was an even more point where the air would have gone out of the room, and it would have brought angry responses and judgmental statements and thoughts behind the back of Mary that she was doing something, and Mary and Jesus and Mary were involved in something. And so what they were doing, what she was doing for Jesus, was something very counter to their culture. She had turned this worship, this dinner party, upside down by what she had done. So Mary had some upside down worship going on here. And now we know what Mary did. We know what she did. The question is really, why did she do it? Why did Mary anoint Jesus' head, his feet, with oil? Why did Mary use her hair to wipe his feet? Well, I think it has to do with why Mary felt the way she did. Well, Mary was one of Jesus' followers. We know that she was one of the ones who would often sit at Jesus' feet and listen to him as he taught his disciples. We know that she often would be the person who would be trying to find out what Jesus was thinking. And it is possible, because sometimes women get it faster than men do, that Jesus had been talking about his death and she was literally going to anoint his body before he died. It's possible that she was trying to encourage Jesus by anointing his feet and his head. And by the way, in Matthew and Mark, it does say that she anointed his head also. And so when you look at that, you say, so how did she anoint his head and his feet at the same time? Well, they were laying on the ground, on the floor, supported by an elbow, usually going from right to left. And the table would have been in front of them, lying by the table, with the feet to the outside and the head to the inside. And it would have been very easy for Mary to have come up behind Jesus and anointed his head and then gone to his feet and poured the rest of the perfume on his feet and then wiped his feet with her hair, with her face, and her tears upon his feet. The anointing of the head, really, in Matthew and Mark, was of significance because they were talking about him being a king. And it is possible that Mary thought that he needed to be anointed as he was Messiah. She believed he was. She believed that he was the Son of God and that she had received the eternal life that he had offered to her. So she was a follower of Jesus. And as such, to anoint him and to give him something like this is to give him something that is of utmost importance to her. You see, Mary here gave Jesus her money. That's the first thing she offered. She offered a year's wages. That is an extravagant gift. It was her inheritance from her mother and possibly her grandmother, passed down for a most special time. This was evidently a most special time, and it was a lot of money that was spent. And it also could have been that she was offering him her service. Because as she wiped his feet, that was a service that was relegated to the servants. And so she is cleaning his feet with her hair, with this perfume, what the servant should have done. In addition to that, I think Mary was basically saying to Jesus, you are my Lord, and I will do anything for you, whatever you ask of me. I give you my life. You see, Mary's service was really upside down. It wasn't just lip service. It wasn't just, well, I think I'll do this. She was willing to fight, to pay the cost of going against cultural norms. She was willing to go against the idea that someone may criticize her for having done this. She was going against the cultural norm of listening to people who said, you know what, you did something indecent with him. You're saying, making a statement. And Jesus stood up for her and said, she has not done this for any reason other than to anoint my body for burial and to worship me. You see, the question always comes down to this question, which is, what is our upside-down worship? For Mary, it was giving her life, it was giving her service, and it was giving her her money. Well, Mary, David said something in the book of, in the Old Testament, in Chronicles, where he said, I will not take what is yours and give it to the Lord. I will not present burnt offerings that have cost me nothing. David was saying the same thing Mary was. I will not give something to my God, to my Lord, that does not cost me something. There are times in our worship, I believe, that before coronavirus, we would have possibly said, you know what, I'm going to go to church and maybe I'll put $20 in the plate and maybe I'll come in and sit down and chat with somebody and possibly encourage them a little bit. But that's enough. That's enough for my worship of God. And really what it cost you was basically nothing, very little. I'm not saying that we all do that, and I'm not saying that you did that. I'm just saying that sometimes our worship is just not costing us anything. Mary would tell us that the cost of our worship needs to be these things right here. It needs to be our money. She was willing to give a year's wages, an inheritance to Jesus. Jesus was saying, it's not about the money. It's not. That's what he said. He said, she anointed my body for burial, but the poor you're always going to have with you, so, and I will not always be here. And so he said, it's about me. It's about me. This is about Jesus, who is going to be the Savior of the world. And so it wasn't about the money, but our money is indication of our level of worship of God. So first of all, we need to give our money. Second thing we need to give is our service, our willingness to do whatever God asks us to do. This is often one of the more difficult ones, because when you do it, you have to be willing to do what Jesus tells you to do. And sometimes that crosses over cultural barriers that we we don't want to cross. And lastly, it has to do with our life. Have we given our life to Jesus? No, this isn't about salvation. This is about a person who knows Jesus and says, I want you to control my life. I want you to be the Lord of my life. I will do whatever you ask me to do, no matter what it is. I'll go wherever you want me to go, no matter what it costs me, no matter what you ask me to do, no matter who says it's wrong, no matter who says it's indecent or unacceptable or wrong. You know, today I am wearing a suit. And I'm wearing a suit because this afternoon, beginning at 11 o'clock, this morning actually, I'm going to a visitation for our dear friend Ruby Danielson, who we're going to do her graveside service for her today in Dyke, Nebraska. Very troubling time for the family. It's very hard for them because they can't invite you in. So I go and I've dressed up in a suit because I want to honor, number one, I want to say I'm honoring Ruby, but I also want to say I'm honoring God, who is Ruby's who was Ruby's Lord. And so I'm wearing these clothes because that's what we do. We put on things that are valuable, and we show that. The same thing goes for our worship of God. And I'm not saying that we need to dress up on a Sunday morning, but I am saying that if God asks you to do something, like he asked me this morning to put on my suit, then I need to do that, because he is my Lord, I'm in service to him, and my money is his also, wherever he asks me to spend it. So the question I want to propose to you today is, what is your upside-down worship going to look like in these weeks coming up to Easter? This is Palm Sunday, or we're coming up on it, and we will be celebrating Monday, Thursday through a video video chat with you, and then we will have an Easter morning video that we send to you, where you can celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But until that time, good time to think about, what is my worship costing me, and what is it saying to the God that I love? Thank you for being with us. We pray that you would have a great Easter time. Would you pray with me? Father God, I just thank you for the fact that you've given us this story about Mary and her desire to worship you with her entire being. She gave you her money. She gave you her service. She gave you her life. She was not concerned about the cultural barriers. She was more concerned about you, because she was indebted to you. Lord, we are indebted to you. You are the one who's paid for our life. You have given us life, and you have given us a home that's ultimately one day we're going to go to. So, Father, I just pray that you would continue to urge us on in more costly worship of you, so that we can be evidenced to our communities that we love you above anything, and we'll do anything for you. Father, thank you for this day. Would you bless those who are listening? Would you bless their families? Would you protect them? Would you lay your hand upon them and keep them safe? In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Thank you.